Hello and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, episode 20. Sorry for the month break, but we were on vacation doing other things. I'm Billy.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro.
And first off, we're going to get into some NBA. So Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns got into a fight earlier this week. Both were suspended 2 games. Ben Simmons also involved in this, putting chokeholds on people. Surprisingly, was not suspended. The NBA did not take action with him. It was not – some people called it too violent of a fight. Some people said that there wasn't really much there. I didn't see a ton there.
Yeah, I didn't see much there.
None of the punches really landed. Kat and Embiid pretty much gone to a Twitter war, and they now hate each other if they didn't already before. So
more fighting got done on Twitter, and I think that Ben Simmons should have gone – at least a 1-game suspension.
Or any form of punishment.
He was involved in it.
Yeah, so. I don't like how the NBA handled that at all.
Yeah, probably definitely should have gotten suspended. And it's not going to affect them really in any way. Just I think Embiid definitely needs to keep his emotions in check. And Towns, but especially Embiid just because he's such an emotional player. And that's a good thing, but I think he also needs to just keep them in check because if he wants to keep going this season.
Does he usually talk so much on Twitter?
Yes. Maybe he needs to tone down talking. That is a part of his personality and his character, but maybe he needs to stop talking a little bit. Now on to Stephen Curry and the Warriors. Now the Warriors have had a really bad start to the season, especially with Klay Thompson out. Durant, he's gone. So this is a completely different Warriors team. Stephen Curry, he's out possibly for the season now. We know that. He's out for at least 3+ months. He suffered a broken left hand. So now the starting lineup is Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal, Willie Cauley-Stein, D'Angelo Russell when he comes back. But right now he's dealing with injuries. Yeah. So their lineup has been really, really like
rough
and bad for the past few games. They've got it done though. Eric Pascal, he's looked really well.
Yeah.
Out of Villanova, I believe he was second-round pick. Yeah, looking pretty good for them. Also, Draymond, obviously, but he was dealing with some injuries.
Yeah,
so they're very banged up, not looking good. And even if when they weren't banged up, they were still looking pretty bad. So you can really tell that the Durant move and now Klay being out just really has hurt them. I mean, having two of those stars, like that big of a star – leave your team who's been there for so long and you're used to working with them.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt your team. And now with Curry out, I don't see the Warriors doing much.
Especially with just Draymond. Them leaving has had is on the defense, which was like underrated for the Warriors and really the base of everything they did, the foundation, everything they did.
Yeah.
You know, underrated. But then Iguodala leaving, like being traded, and then Kawhi and Klay being injured. And even Durant leaving all hurt their defense a lot.
Yeah, and really all that was left is their offense after that.
Yeah.
And you can't – and now that Curry's gone, their offense isn't even that much there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be really rough.
But even when he was there, him and D'Lo weren't working enough. Yeah.
Well, it's two shooters, really.
They weren't working well enough to compensate for the bad defense.
Mm. And especially because they're new teammates, you know, you need time to build chemistry.
Yeah.
And when it's so urgent that you need to start, like, you're expected to win, it's going to be tough to try and build that chemistry and have all that pressure on you at the same time. But hopefully
you got to feel bad because everything went wrong at the same time, all at once.
Yeah. After Curry's injury, a report said multiple teams called to show interest in D'Angelo Russell through a trade. Now, this was rumored ever since D'Lo was in the sign-and-trade from Brooklyn to Golden State. He was expected to somewhat like be traded this year, which because they already have Klay, they already have Curry. But now that Curry's out for that amount of time, you'd think that they'd keep D'Lo for the season and maybe trade him next season.
I think that's probably the best plan. Is going with the idea that they tank, basically.
I just think if Curry's going to be out for the season and you still want to make a push, then you keep D'Lo in, keep him as your point guard for the season. And then next season, possibly because he's the star of the offense, if Curry is out and all they have is D'Lo pretty much and Draymond, then he's going to build up his stats, better trade value. You trade him out, get a couple picks maybe, and start to kind of rebuild the cast, the supporting cast around Curry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just don't see the point in trading him right now, unless the teams are valuing a extra year of D'Lo.
Yeah.
But I don't think a immediate contender would trade for him at this point.
No.
Because there's just not really much contenders that need a point guard.
I mean, he doesn't really fit their system too well. And I mean, that's why the rumors were from the beginning that they were going to trade him.
Yeah.
But then the Warriors said, like, oh, we're not going to keep him because they thought that they could actually like do something with him. But with the way their season is going, I mean, I could see them going into rebuild and just trading him.
I mean, obviously, like, they're going to want to, like, make a push and succeed, but it doesn't really seem that realistic as of right now.
Yeah.
Like, this team, like, there's some good players on it, yeah, but they really just haven't, like,
have any luck.
They haven't had much time to start working together well.
Yeah.
So we're not sure if they'll, like, pull it together and start working really well as a team, or if it'll just stay like this and they stay unsuccessful. And it might just be more worth it to get, like, trade D'Lo for maybe like a good pick and have some good picks for the next draft.
And I mean, the urgency that teams are showing in that they want him like now is a good sign for them. So maybe the Warriors want to miss this opportunity to trade him with all the interest
demand
he's getting.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it both ways. Like if they could like trade him and then go into a rebuild and try to get like different picks around like Draymond and Curry and try to go and Clay and go around from there.
Mm.
But I mean, they don't need to do with urgency because they signed him on a 5-year deal from Brooklyn. So they don't need any urgency. That's the good thing for them.
And they already do have some good supporting pieces. Yeah. If Pascal can keep up his kind of
production
run that he's had. And Jordan Poole looks all right, the late first rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some nice young players. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein's decent. Yeah. That you can put him in, plug and play.
The problem is, no, they can play good defense.
Mm. They probably do need good defensive force in there at some point, possibly in the upcoming draft to go get one of them. Gordon Hayward scored 39 points versus the Cleveland Cavaliers this week. Is he back?
Well, the way he's going this season, then he followed it up with a 20-point game against the Hornets.
Mm. And almost
triple. And they've all been shooting efficiently. And if the biggest difference is if you're watching him, you can't magnify how big of a difference has been. He's been attacking like more. He's been like not as like he seemed like fearful before, but now he's like fearless again. He's running like he used to. He's passing like he used to. He's like. I mean, you want to say he's back, but like that's what
it
was.
It appears to be like he's back.
Yeah.
And if you look at his stats, he's had near triple doubles.
Yeah.
In almost every game.
He's been a big role. Yeah. Like,
he's definitely been a very large contributor for the Celtics and really living up to what that contract was.
Yeah. He's showing why Celtics signed him. It's a big deal because they knew what he was and they knew that he could fit their system very well. And Brad Stevens knew him and they just felt confident in his ability.
Mm-hmm.
He's really looking like he was when he played for Utah. And I think Kyrie possibly leaving and Kemba and the new regime kind of coming in, building chemistry with him.
Yeah, and then after last season, he had less, like the expectations were lower and everyone was like pressuring them to like go crazy. And people were like, oh, writing off Boston. So I guess he just.
Yeah, there's a lot less pressure this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Celtics mentality, they always really perform better when they're viewed underdogs as the underdog.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart, you definitely know he loves that underdog mentality. He always has it, always has that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I feel like this team's definitely a real team that's like, if you look down on them, that's only going to make them better. And they've really been showing that they're very capable to do really good things this season.
The veteran core seems like they have good chemistry with each other and are confident. The young core seem like they have good chemistry.
Robert Williams seems like he's been stepping up really well.
Cantor's absence, especially.
Yeah, in Cantor's absence, he definitely has been playing the type of defense we want from him.
Daniel Tice has been starting too.
Tice has been playing well.
Small role, but
He's small role. Grant Williams has been playing well in the minutes that he's got. Carson Edwards cut his hair, and I don't know.
Okay, last game, I think. I'll leave for that.
Carson Edwards is a good spot-up shooter.
Yeah, he's definitely a good shooter to have out
on. They didn't get off to the best start against the 76ers, but then from there, Kemba Walker found his role in the offense. He got a good shot, and they all started shooting efficiently. Tatum, Hayward, and
Brown.
Yeah, no, and Walker.
Oh, okay.
Then Hayward and Walker, and that's why so far they're the only trio in the NBA alive over 20 for the same team, and things are just clicking for them now. Now they're tied for the best record in the NBA, and it's obviously they haven't played like the greatest teams, but it's nice to see them.
Yeah.
Last night the Celtics did play the Hornets, and that was Kemba's return to Charlotte. Before the game, the Hornets included a nice tribute vid for Kemba. Kemba, the one who pretty much carried the Hornets franchise for ever since he was drafted.
And she's still their all-time scorer.
And
yeah, leader in scoring.
I mean, Kemba was very emotional during the video, which I expect. He gave so much to Charlotte, despite like never winning a championship or anything, because really he can't with that cast that he got beside him.
But he did do the best he could.
Yes, he definitely did.
He definitely showed that he put an effort. It's not like he wasn't trying just because of how bad the team was.
Which is really
something you like to see in a player.
I really appreciate that the fans didn't boo him or anything for leaving, because
they know why he left.
They understand that he was because they
would have done the same thing if they were.
I mean, literally last season he put up his career high 61 against the Sixers and still lost.
Yeah,
that's not okay.
And Terry Rozier's first game against his former team, the Celtics, it was definitely not ideal. As
he went 1-for-11, scored 3 points.
Yeah,
it was pretty ugly.
You wonder if he played when they play the Celtics at the TD Garden, if he'll fare better or he'll really just choke under the environment of what he
or needs if to he's play adapted by his, into his role better by then.
Yeah.
Him and Kemba both started 0-6, I think, but then Kemba had a good second half, whereas Rozier never took off.
Yeah.
He just stayed down
there. I mean, Rozier's done all right, but that last
knockout was ugly.
The only real reason why the Celtics lost to the 76ers was Brown fouling out in the beginning of the third quarter.
They just hadn't gone together by then.
They were missing all their free throws. They were giving the 76ers plenty of free throws, and they were making them. And we
Sixers
just a very, yeah, the six, well, obviously the Sixers are really good.
Yeah.
And we just weren't shooting efficiently at all. So,
and I mean, that Al Horford contract, though, is going to bite the Sixers in a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's going to kill them. Who's going to take that contract? At the end. Anyways, so on to the NBA standings in the NBA, obviously. Anyway, Celtics are the first in the Eastern Conference at 6-1, with the Heat trailing them at 6-2. The Heat's been very, very good with Jimmy Butler, who hasn't played
many. And surprise contributions from players like undrafted rookie
Kendrick Nunn.
Yep, and then drafted rookie Tyler Herro.
Yeah, they've been really nice. They got some nice guards on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's playing over Dragic right now. Is impressive. So
probably.
Yeah. He actually I forget what college he went to, but he was all rookie team, all freshman team, his first year in a major conference.
He had
and then transferred to Oakland.
Well yeah, he transferred to Oakland after he had assault allegations. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah, but he was benched in his first year at Oakland after being
those other players like Dragic.
Freshman of the year. Yeah. Very weird.
Very weird.
The Oakland coach, I don't know what he's thinking, but that's what happens. The Bucks are third in the conference. Celtics beat the Bucks this week on Wednesday. Giannis still doing good for them, carrying them, really. Sixers are 5-2. They're fourth. Raptors 5-2. Raptors still doing good. Pascal Siakam's looking like a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much carrying that team. Hornets are 4-4. Very surprising.
Yes, very surprising that the Hornets are really doing anything. Yeah. But they're in sixth.
PJ
Washington is doing surprisingly well.
Rookies like PJ Washington
And Devontae Graham, I think, is doing well.
Devontae Graham, like 36, like a game or two ago. He's been playing really well for them.
Rozier obviously has done all right for the Hornets, but the Hornets coming in, I'm sure I did at least, and a lot of people, other people did, expect that the Hornets were going to be the worst in the league.
Yeah, so did I.
Right now, they are ahead of teams like the Pacers and Pistons, who are coming in at 7-8 in standings.
Obviously, Hawks, the Pacers don't have Oladipo, though. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they are.
I bet the Miles Turner is out really regretting letting Malcolm Brogdon go, though. He's averaging like 20 for the Bucks and for the Pacers.
Yeah.
On really good shooting.
Brogdon is doing
I don't know why I let him. Pacers. I liked him so much as a Buck. He fit their system.
Yeah.
He shot 54 to 90.
I'm glad he left, though, because the Bucks were way too good with him.
I mean, not way too good. They didn't make the finals.
At some point, you would still, probably start really over good. Eric Bledsoe if they kept him. Longer term.
Look at that. He's averaging 22, 46, and almost 10 assists.
That's good numbers.
It's a great season.
And with Oladipo coming back, those his numbers probably going to go up. Anyways, yeah, Hawks are ninth. Trey Young's has been putting in a pretty good season, besides for the last game where he scored like 9 points.
John Collins suspended.
Yeah, right now they're losing to the Kings 63-47 at halftime. And honestly, I think things are going to go downhill for them because starting electric center. They just got suspended. John Collins. Their young, energetic rebounder, and who puts up 19 a game, got suspended for PEDs. So
for 25
that's going to hurt them a lot.
Yeah. Stay off the juice. Stay off the juice.
Yes.
In the Western Conference, the Lakers, are first. They're 6-1. The Mavericks are 5-2 with Kristaps.
The Mavericks are looking really nice. Although, if I'm going to be completely honest, I think the Lakers will start dying out by the end of the season because LeBron is old.
Yeah, I think that the Lakers
that's just
aren't
personally
that
my
good.
Opinion. They're I think a the good Clippers team will definitely take when you look at point. Like the roster. Like they're a good team on paper, but not really the best dynamic there for chemistry.
Yeah.
And really just
my favorite team in the West to watch the season so far has probably been the Mavericks because they played really well. Mm-hmm. And that surprising bench depth, like they own one game, another game, their bench helped drop 61 in the game. Mm. And that's really important if you're trying to go for a long season.
Luka's been productive, dropping a lot of triple
doubles. Luka's playing like an MVP early on, and they almost won against the Lakers in that game. They could be the ones with the 6-1 record as they went to OT with them.
LeBron gave Luka some compliments too after
that. Yeah, because they both dropped 30-point triple doubles. Mm-hmm. So that was a great game.
Nuggets are third at 5-2. Clippers 6-3.
Without
fourth.
Kawhi and Paul George, they're still
Kawhi's kind of like one game.
Well, yeah,
without Paul.
Yeah,
yeah. Paul George is out for until like
November 12th, I think.
I think
so. He's coming back next soon.
Week, yeah.
Hallelujah, because my fantasy basketball team needs him. Yeah. The Clippers are basically what you expected. They're looking pretty good.
Mm.
The Jazz are looking nice with Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Rudy Gobert.
Conley, though, hasn't really been that productive.
Yeah, Conley
hasn't been productive, really but you would like – I'm hoping that they start to gel. I mean, they beat the 76ers. Yeah. So.
At the beginning of the season, he was, like, counterproductive. He was giving out, like, so many turnovers.
Yeah.
He just
– You hope he warms into the system and starts playing well with Donovan Mitchell. But, yeah.
The Rockets' ball hog experiment has somehow worked out.
Hasn't worked out as well as it should.
To this
though.
Point,
as some people predicted, it would with two MVPs.
But yeah, they're 5-3.
They've only won against teams like the Grizzlies, the Broken Warriors, the Wizards.
They lost to the Heat
and the Thunder. They've lost. Yeah, and the Pelicans. They've lost teams like the Nets, the Heat. In the Bucks, these are teams like if they're really contending, then they'd be beating, but they're not.
Mm.
It's just too inconsistent,
and just you can and just it's, really, yeah. really bad defense, very high scoring games. Like against the Wizards, it was 159
to 158 with no OT,
without overtime, 159 points to 158,
and the games
to the Washington Wizards.
Overtime. That's a lot of points.
Yeah. In the game, they win. In the games they win it just because they have more talented players, not because they're playing better, not because they're more skilled.
And against the Heat, 144 to 133. I mean, yes, the Heat are a good team, but still, that's outrageous. Like,
They let Jimmy Butler
defense needs to start being valued a little bit more.
Well, Russell Westbrook and James Harden haven't been remarked for their defense over the last few seasons. So
yeah, and they really like they seem to get along well, but they also don't seem to play well together.
Yeah.
Like they get along well off the court, but on the court they don't really get along.
Well, they get along, they just don't play. Well, yeah, well, yeah,
yeah.
You were saying
yes.
And the Spurs are hanging around
eternally
at number seven
with Popovich. They're always
five and three. The surprise so far might be the Suns.
Yes.
Right here, 5-3.
They are the 8 seed, but they've been looking good.
Devin Booker has been looking real nice. Mm.
Even all that without DeAndre Ayton, who decided that drugs are a good thing too.
He decided, yes, juice, I do want it. Him and John Collins, you stay off the juice.
Yeah,
he definitely knew it was in it, and then.
So yeah,
Timberwolves also quickly they're 4-3. The 9 seed Trailblazers, the 10 seed at 3-5. Thunder hanging around 11 seed at 3-5, and the Grizzlies are the 12 seed.
John Morant's been playing
surprisingly
well.
Yeah, surprisingly, the Trailblazers at 3-5
hasn't really been bringing like much production ways of winning to the Grizzlies, but John Morant has definitely been proving that he is a very worthy player in the NBA.
Yeah, Morant is looking very well.
He's averaging 1-20 already in only like 25 minutes of game per game. He's only played over 30 like once. It's insane.
And we already talked about the Warriors' struggles. They're 14th in the league.
The Pelicans. Yeah, Pelicans, even with Zion out, they're still only 1-6. So, yeah, they're not
even
as
with
good
Brandon
as,
Ingram
yeah.
dropping like 40.
Yeah. Ingram looking good.
Ingram is looking nice.
So people expected too much out of that young group.
But, yeah, you definitely need to give that group some time to gel as they're all very young.
And new.
And new. Except for Redick, I guess. But
yeah, he's still new.
He's not.
New to the team.
Yeah, he's new to the system.
Now on to college basketball, which opened up this week.
Some players are already getting suspended, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
That happened today.
Preview.
Yeah. Duke beat Kansas 68-66 in a back-and-forth game. The same night, Michigan State lost to Kentucky 69-62, so some big matchups in the first game. Anyways, the news of the day.
James Wiseman.
Projected number one pick.
Five-star, number one prospect at a high school.
7'1" center.
Blocks shots like it's nothing.
Moved from Nashville to Memphis.
With the assistance of Penny Hardaway paying for it. Allegedly.
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 Yeah.
We called this.
However, this was announced like 20 minutes before their game. However, he did play after the judge put the eligibility on hold.
We kind of called that some of their players might have been paid on a previous episode a very long time ago.
Very long, like probably third episode level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of suspected this to happen, but I was kind of hoping it would happen to someone other than James Wiseman because he's so fun to watch.
So good.
But,
Yeah, by the time we were watching here, he had like 4 or 5 blocks.
In the first half.
In the first half, yep.
Which is crazy.
And they were some crazy blocks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of them were pinning the ball off the backboard. One of them might have was probably goaltending.
It was a goaltend,
but it was still nice.
It was still really high. It was off the top of like the box, and it was really good.
Yeah, he's a insane athlete. Really, really big. Definitely a stretch.
He's also fluid and he's quick and he's a nice shot.
And he can hit his jumpers. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see him in the NBA.
Still could definitely be possibly number one pick, but with
now the college
experience not being there, he could slide back, but not. He's not going to.
I think he'll still be. He'll be lottery, at least.
He'll be top five. I think he's top five.
He'll be top five
because they saw him in high school. They projected number one, and then they saw him what he did today against college players. I mean, they're not. It wasn't.
It wasn't like
school.
They were playing the greatest team.
University of Illinois Chicago.
But they know they know what they've been looking for.
They know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
They can see. They can see. Wiseman did play tonight despite this alleged suspension.
The judge did hold the ineligibility. But
it'll be interesting to see what happens if it is upheld and the decision stands and he's not able to play college.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting if he just doesn't play, which probably would work out for him. And as we said, probably be top five pick. Maybe probably number one would be a realistic possibility. And or if he went like over to something just for like a smart short time.
It's just it's a shame that we are not going to be able to see him playing college that much.
Yeah, it would have been March Madness would be really fun with him. Really entertaining to watch him dominate college basketball. Mm. See that Memphis team go.
Memphis still is going to look pretty good.
They're still a great team with Boogie Ellis, who is shooting 6 for 6 to start the game in the first half with 18 points, all from three. Mm. And then.
Precious Achiuwa. Yeah. I don't know how to say his last name, but he's good. He's the other 5-star.
Number 11 with his shorts rolled up way too high.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. Whatever.
It's a good team.
Definitely a very talented team. They're winning 92-43 right now.
Yeah, pretty close. Someone game. Say that that team's payroll is higher than the Suns. And the NCAA seems to be supporting that. Anyways, yeah, Hardaway was considered being a booster to Wiseman in helping him move from Nashville to Memphis during the recruiting cycle, which obviously means giving him money. This is one incident that we have heard about. There could be possibly many others of him supporting him and giving him money during the recruiting cycle, and also other recruits. We're yet to find that out. I'm sure that more things will come out like this about the Memphis program. Just because it seems so obvious that they have been paying their players because they have so many. I'm not saying for sure that they've paid any of their players at all. I'm just making the assumption based off of the evidence that I've seen. Like I have all the way back in that first episode where we did accuse Memphis of paying their players.
Because Memphis just isn't a college that would attract that many 5- and 4-star recruits.
Yeah,
and
historically.
Without financial benefits.
It doesn't make that much sense. Like, no offense to any of the Memphis fans out there listening. I know we got some hate on the last Memphis video for accusing them, but you guys have to realize that your college doesn't attract NBA stars, and that's not about your college, really. Well, it does. Derrick Rose did come, but it doesn't bring in that much recruits. That's meant to be Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Virginia. Those type of schools are meant to bring in those recruits, and Power 5 schools are supposed to bring in those recruits. You guys play in the American Conference. Nobody really wants to play in the American Conference because you're playing against bad teams. The best competition you're really getting on your schedule is Wichita State and Oregon. And Oregon's the only Power 5 team that's really good competition for you guys. So, yeah, you guys just have to realize that. I really wish that James Wiseman didn't get suspended because I would like to see Memphis play. But even with the players being paid, like, I would have liked to have seen it. So, I'm not happy that Wiseman got suspended, but I'm just letting you know that this is not a lot of players would want to play at Memphis despite people coming together to form a super team.
So that's going to do it for the first segment. We're going to come back with the rest of our sports and categories. And we're back with the second part of today's episode. We're going to be starting off with the MLB. I'm going to pass it off to Billy.
Yes, so the MLB season finally concluded with an amazing World Series win by the Washington Nationals. Since coming into the league in 2005 from relocation and a rebranding, the Montreal Expos turned into the Washington Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman was their first overall selection, Mr. National. They then went on to select Steven Strasburg in future years, Bryce Harper, but he's gone now. And he did deliver on his promise to bring a championship back to Washington. Just on a different team. And we respect you for that, Bryce. No shots. I actually like Bryce Harper a lot, but I had to take that jab. Anyways, the Nationals won the World Series in 7 games, this was kind of like the Stanley Cup, where all the home games were won by the away team.
Another similarity with the Stanley Cup was that the team that won was at one point like the worst team in the league.
Yes.
And then they came back on a resurgent run, went to the playoffs and won it in seven.
MLB, seemingly dominant
team, yeah.
Copying each other.
I like the stories.
I really was rooting for the Nationals.
Same.
I was not rooting for the Blues in the NHL.
No, we weren't.
We weren't.
We're Bruins fans.
The rest of the league was, though. But
yeah.
We ignore that.
Yeah, no one ever roots for
We're not going to talk about that.
Anyway, back to the subject at hand.
So, anyways, Juan Soto was a beast.
Especially against Gerrit Cole. He had him figured out both games. He had a homer off him. He had all of them figured
out. And hit a homer in game seven, I believe, as well. Soto just absolute beast. And he's like 20 or 22
He's 20. He turned 21.
Super young.
The week before.
Yeah, super young.
So and he was able to drink for the post-game celebrations, game seven.
Already has a World Series in his pocket. I mean, that's good.
Can't fit in a pocket, but he has it there.
He has it there. He can fit the ring.
Yeah, that's true. Or we can spend
once he gets it. Anyways, Steven Strasburg was the MVP of the
World Series. He was just dominant in the games he started.
Yeah, had
really dominant.
Really, really good games.
He didn't play out of the inning, out of the bullpen, but the pitching, as it was expected, was really important for the team that won, pitching the Nationals.
Mm.
Clutch hitting also really helped them. They got a lot of hits and scored a lot of runs with two outs throughout the series. Mm. But yeah, pitching.
Rendon and Soto.
Yeah.
Huge. Huge.
Even Howie Kendrick
and Strasburg and Scherzer.
He didn't provide big at-bats in those situations too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pitching was really important. The Washington bullpen obviously wasn't very good. They had to pull a lot of starters. For example, game seven, they had to pull out game like three starter or four starter Patrick Corbin to play out of the bullpen. But yeah, it was a really good game. And again, the Nats were clutch in this game too, coming back and scoring in the later innings.
And never looking back.
Yep.
It was just a very good game.
They were down 2-0 and scored three in the seventh, and then scored one in the eighth and two in the ninth to seal the game.
Despite this, record low ratings for game seven, baseball falling off of America's favor, as it has been for the past few years, maybe decade. It's really unfortunate, you know. There's been more homers lately and kind of steroids maybe. No,
I'll juice ball.
We're not sure at this point, but there's a lot more homers. We're not sure
juice
if it's
ball.
Yeah, juice balls. But
yeah,
the ratings are just, they're getting lower and we know why, obviously.
Yeah.
The NBA is getting bigger. The NFL is getting bigger. And people who, you know, the younger people really aren't finding baseball to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Because the games are so long and there's so many games and stuff. And people finding enjoyment in watching baseball at home instead of actually at the game, less people are finding enjoyment in that. Personally, I like to watch baseball.
Sometimes at home. Something depends on the game.
Like, I don't mind it. But you know, the casual fan just really doesn't enjoy that anymore. And I don't know how the MLB is going to rebound from this, how they're going to find
They tried the homer ball this season.
Yeah, it didn't work. I don't know how they're going to find a way to compete with the NFL.
I think their hope is like with like just like a face of the beginning that just saves them. Maybe like a Ronald Acuña, Juan Soto, or like an Aaron Judge goes big enough or another player like that.
Glad.
And Mike Trout's such a good player, and he's one of the best players ever.
But he just doesn't work. Like, he doesn't.
He's
not there.
Vocal.
He's humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not what.
Which is a good thing.
MLB really needs.
But he's a great player. The MLB almost needs a showboat.
Yes. They need someone like Joel Embiid, which the NBA, they have such a big following already. We can come out here on the podcast and say that he needs to stop talking. We need to tell MLB players to get talking, so stop talking.
Well, the thing is that a lot of things they do, the people in the older or the baseball tradition just go like, oh, that's not in line with the game. They try to like, pitchers try to hit them, or people just like, don't do that, or they just don't support it.
When people are getting mad that people are flipping the bat.
Yeah, like yeah, and then Ronald Acuna was looking at a ball, which probably should have left him, but then the ball was just like, I don't know, people said the ball was like different, and it kind of was dropping at a different rate, and it felt really awkward, like it barely left the wall, he got a single instead of a double, and then people got really mad at him. It just created headlines that are way bigger than it should have been for that, I feel.
I feel like if they're trying to get baseball to be fun,
yeah,
let baseball become fun. Let it change. Sports evolve over time. You know, keeping a sense of the original game obviously is important, but you can't have it stay the same for ages. You need it to change. Times change. Sports change. That's how the world works.
Yeah.
And if you're going to stay constant,
the NBA is not going to change much. More threes, faster pace.
And NFL, you know,
the players are just gotten more athletic too. The other sports can rely on this on the players getting more athletic because they use the athleticism way more prevalently. Like you don't see an you can't always see the athleticism of baseball players because in football you can see a running back jump over another man or get a good tackle or
chase quarterbacks get more athletic, which is evolving into newer
or scramble systems used. But in an NBA you can see a fast break, a chase down block, something like that. You know. But in like the baseball, you can't really see, like you can see stolen bases, but those are on the fall. You can see athletic, like outfield players are just like, the best way, honestly, of seeing them.
Yeah. So not good for the MLB. Anyways, Gerrit Cole is expected to leave the Astros. He did kind of write him a goodbye already.
It was supposed to be like a thank you for the support, but it really, I mean, it really seemed like a goodbye. It seemed like that was it. Like he was moving on. The Astros owner did say he was going to go make a run for him, but
they want
to. Yeah, they're probably still not expected to get him with their financial situation. They're already paying a lot of money. So the other players, I mean, they had one of the best teams of all time statistically.
I mean, it's not the end for the Astros. Yeah,
they just somehow didn't win the title this year.
Yeah, they had one of the best pitching staffs I've ever seen in my life with Greinke and Verlander and Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole, yeah.
So
he was historically dominant this season. He was so good. He didn't lose for like months, but then he just lost him at the most. The favorites to sign him are either the Angels or the Yankees.
Yankees are always in there,
yeah.
No matter what.
Angels would be an interesting situation because obviously, Yankees, you know, they'd be
I'm putting them with Ohtani.
But the Angels would be kind of weird.
The Angels would be interesting,
yeah,
because they've been trying to build a good team around Trout, which I don't know how you've haven't done that.
Yeah. They can't even make the playoffs. Not even close.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, if you get Gerrit Cole in there, I mean, could be good. You have Ohtani pitching and Gerrit Cole in the rotation. Not much after that, but if you can get a building block going, then
I don't feel like that'd be the best choice for his career.
I don't think it would be the best choice for Gerrit Cole's career.
Honestly, I'd really consider staying with the Astros, but I bet he wants more money than they're able to offer.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be the best choice for him because they're obviously stable. No one's like really leaving. It's the Astros. But
on the other side of the World Series, Steven Strasburg, he opted out of a four-year, $100 million contract to continue with the Nationals. Could sign a new deal with the Nationals possibly still.
They're among the favorites to re-sign him.
Yeah, but the Padres are also interested in Strasburg.
It'd be interesting when it entered. The Padres would be really, again, interesting because they're also a rebuilding project.
Need help with their pitching staff.
They have a lot younger players.
Mm. Tatis.
Yeah.
Love Tatis. He's
really good. And then, I mean, they also have
the Machado.
Number one. Yeah, they also have the number one farm system. So
and
that could work.
So they're up and coming. They have a lot of good players.
I just feel like Strauss is out of their time window. He's already like 31.
Mm.
I don't think that works. That makes sense.
The contending time for them would probably be around 2 to 3 years or
past I feel like that. It's more than that, yeah.
But they can come out of nowhere like the Nationals did. They really can. But Strasburg, I don't think
Nationals
would make
didn't
a ton
come out of
sense.
Nowhere, though. They've always been like a nice team. They just didn't break out like they did before.
Yeah.
They used their bullpen too much and it killed them.
Yankees declined Edwin Encarnacion's option. He didn't really do much for them.
I think I think he would have re-signed because he actually was getting his form. But then the postseason, he was atrocious. Him and Gary Sanchez were awful. So I think that really convinced them not to take that option.
And he's old.
Yeah.
Very old. So they'd probably want
to. I think they'd rather have anybody else playing at first base.
Yeah. Pitcher Yu Darvish won't opt out of a four-year $81 million contract with the Chicago Cubs. I mean, I wouldn't either. I mean,
yeah.
Because probably wouldn't
that's get guaranteed money
on the free market. So
also with the Cubs, they pick up another pitcher, Quintana's $10.5 million option.
So keep trying to keep that core intact with Lester and Darvish.
I guess they're just hoping to run it back and hope that they make it because they still do have a good team.
It was still a good team. Some stuff this just year,
went wrong. Like yeah. Rizzo missed some time. Baez missed some time down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And so and Chris Bryant missed a lot of time.
Joe Maddon's out as manager, so hopefully they can find – David Ross is the new manager, I believe. Mm.
Yeah, a lot of Cubs fans like the signing, so that'll be intriguing to see what happens with him.
Now, Red Sox outfielder and designated hitter, J.D. Martinez, he opts into his contract. He also has an opt-out, I believe, after next season.
But this sets up an interesting situation for the Red Sox.
Yeah, so right now it's – they want to get under the hard cap.
Yeah, so they don't have to pay that huge
luxury tax.
The tax that amounts more every single year.
Yeah.
And it gets up, the factor, it goes up a lot after every year that you're above it. So while they don't have a tax, a salary cap, the spending is just so much that you don't want to pay it.
Yeah. So this sets up the choice of trading J.D. Martinez, trading Mookie, keeping both of them, and then possibly getting rid of letting Porcello walk, which I expect to happen, and freeing up cap some other way. But most likely it's going to be Martinez or
and hoping that Betts resigns.
Yes.
Because that's a big part of it.
I think
he has not made it very clear.
Because he's just older.
Yeah. He hasn't made it very clear if he wants to stay, though. Martinez, I mean, kind of wants to say if he's opting in.
Mm. But he is... If he's opting in... But
you also don't want to trade away an MVP caliber player like that.
If Martinez is opting in, that means that... at least some people have said that means that he's not going to get that much on the open market. So he's opting in to just make sure he gets that money. Because he wouldn't get that. He's just not receiving as much interest.
It's interesting to see what the Red Sox do with their salary situation, Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez.
I would like to see Martinez go over Betts, but if Betts won't commit to the team, then I'm sure that the Red Sox would have to give up on Betts. And even if they do give up on Betts, then I don't see Martinez doing much without Betts on the team because with Betts and Martinez last season, they didn't make the playoffs. So if you take Betts out of that equation and you're going to replace him with a worse player immediately, there's no reason in keeping Martinez.
It's not all aging. It's not all bad though because he's still like Rafael Devers, only 23.
Yeah,
and then Hunter Bogart just won Silver Slugger. So
yeah. And finally, the Mets hired former Mets outfielder Carlos Beltran as their new manager. They cycle through managers
and expected to change something.
What?
And they expect it to change. Something to change. It doesn't.
Beltran does run a baseball academy, I believe, and, he was a good player.
He's a respectable player, yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see.
He's not going
to
solve the problems, spoiler alert.
What he can do. And that's it for the MLB. Now on to the NFL. Now, the NFL season has gone by for 4 weeks, and we haven't covered it. So a lot of stuff has happened. We're just going to cover the last week and up and coming. But... I've been kind of disappointed that I haven't been able to cover all the stuff, especially I don't think I've been able to cover Antonio Brown coming back from being released by the Raiders and signed by the Patriots and then released again and all this. We're not going to talk about AB today, but he had some interesting things happening. And we'll see how that works out with his meeting that happened, I believe, on Wednesday. And we'll talk about that next week, probably the fallout of that. Anyways, Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, he went 5-0 in the absence of Drew Brees with his hand injury. He's expected to reportedly get $20 to $30 million on the open market in the offseason.
Which hear that bag.
Crazy number for Teddy Bridgewater. Now, this isn't a Brock Osweiler moment because Bridgewater is proven before he got that bad injury with the Vikings, he was very good. He's a good quarterback. Now in for the Saints. He was really good, obviously, 5-0. Good wins against Seahawks and teams like that. 20 to 30 million, though, probably a bit of a stretch Yeah, I'd say. But
especially, I mean, it is 5-0, but it's only 5 games at the end of the day.
I could see teams doing this, though.
Yeah.
Especially the Saints if Breeze decides to hang it up, which could be a possible thing to happen. But if Breeze does not hang it up, Bridgewater's probably going to walk somewhere else. And it'd be interesting to see what they do there because Breeze would stay. Bridgewater would walk. They wouldn't have someone to replace him. And then the Saints might go down the drain after Breeze retires. So it's probably better off if Breeze does retire this offseason. Patriots released Josh Gordon. First they put him on IR. Then they released him.
And then the Seahawks signed him.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks signed him on waivers. Now, well, I don't know how you know. I think you guys know how waivers work. But waivers, obviously.
Don't the teams have, like, the chance to sign them in order.
Yeah, so the worst team in the league has the first chance to sign them, and it goes down the line. Seahawks are one of the best teams in the league. They got them at like 28, probably. It's like a draft order, basically. Yeah. So the Dolphins had the first chance, and they passed. And then it just – the teams kept passing, and he ended up on the Seahawks. I don't know how you'd allow that to happen, but something's happening with
Josh. I don't
know
why someone would see – oh, the Seahawks are next. Let's let Russell Wilson have another weapon.
Yeah, they have Tyrell Lockett,
so
DK Metcalf.
They're looking really
good.
They're looking really good if this pays off for them and Josh Gordon fits in the system.
You know, when Doug Baldwin, they announced that he was going to retire, it looked grim.
Now but Russell Wilson is yet again putting up MVP numbers.
Yeah, it just looks real.
And sweet. They're winning games this time. So
yeah.
It's looking really good for them.
Really nice. And despite this, Russell Wilson, it was reported that he pushed for Antonio Brown earlier in the season. Russell Wilson.
I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't want to. He's still a great receiver, even if he is an idiot off the field. But he's still a great talent. He's still a good receiver. There's nothing taking that away from him. He's still a great athlete.
But
he's still going to get the job done, even if it will come at quite the cost.
He is kind of Kyrie Irving
of NFL. Yeah. Kyrie still plays, though.
Yes, he's a lot more extreme, though.
He's a lot more extreme. So maybe Kyrie Irving is the lower level.
A lot lower level.
Antonio
Brown.
Antonio Brown contradicts
himself.
Kyrie
doesn't blow up his career in like two weeks.
And then things
within an hour.
Within like an hour.
Yeah.
He's not smart.
He tweeted how he hated the NFL.
He's not going back.
In very vulgar language and was never coming back.
Very bad grammar.
And that they were racist. And then he said he's never going back.
Okay. And then about an hour later, he tweets
that he's sorry
for that. He misses the game of football and he wants to come back to the NFL.
And then
I don't know what's going through Antonio Brown's brain or veins.
Or people around him are telling him or saying to him.
Forcing him to post on Twitter. I don't know
what
is being injected into his body, but it is not good.
On Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, the Patriots lost to the Ravens, suffering their first loss of the season, 37-20. It was an ugly game. Julian Edelman fumbled. That was one of the tide turners of the game. The Ravens ran a speed offense, speeded like a lot of options in Lamar Jackson type of stuff, college offense. Patriots still weren't able to stop him. Me, a Patriots fan, very angry about this, especially because, Lamar Jackson, he's a great player.
He is a great player.
He's a great player. But he can't throw. I'm sorry. He can't throw past 20.
He can.
Accurately. He can't throw. So...
but
it's just frustrating that he can run so well against...
like,
defense and
let's be honest,
like,
here though,
you just need to focus on the run.
The Patriots have always struggled against mobile quarterbacks.
Yes, and their run defense is just not that good.
Like our defense is good. Although we were playing very bad teams at the beginning of the season, we had a very solid defense, and it was progressively getting worse as the season went on. But I don't think we would have expected to lose by 17 to the Ravens. Yes, they're a good team, but no, they're not a team that we should have lost by this much to.
Yes.
We definitely did not play like we should have. The offense was awful.
They didn't play their sharpest, and they made some mistakes they really shouldn't have.
And
credit to the Ravens, though. They,
they had a really good game plan. Obviously, the Patriots tend to struggle quite a lot when it comes to playing against a very mobile and athletic quarterback, as it showed. But
and they were aggressive, exposing that thing.
Yeah. The Ravens really attacked them with that, really stuck it in their face, and were much more physical about it, weren't shying away from the Patriots' defense. They really put it to them.
Redskins offensive tackle, Trent Williams, who has been holding out. He finally came back to the team. But just after coming back to the team, he says he had cancer, and the team doctors said that it wasn't that bad.
Although Williams claimed that it was leukemia, which is normally always really bad.
Yes, and the team doctors said it wasn't that bad, and then they found it out, and they saved him from that. But after saying that he can play with it and he was fine. So Redskins, short story, their team doctors suck. They handled RG3 horribly and they handled Trent Williams bad. Redskins organization, sell the team, Dan Snyder. Sell the team. Okay, I'm done with that. Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the trade deadline, which was this last week, they tried to trade for Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to shorten this one up too.
What? I never heard about that.
I did. Yeah, this was a rumor.
That is interesting.
Report.
That's really weird.
They tried to trade for Le'Veon. Pittsburgh, what are you doing? You already have James Conner. Le'Veon didn't work out last time. You're not in win-now mode. Mason Rudolph's your quarterback. No. Moving on. Joe Flacco, he's done for the season with an injury. Brandon Allen, who is the backup quarterback, he got it done versus the Browns. He picked up a really good win, especially for a quarterback that nobody really heard of up to this point. He was a good quarterback at Arkansas, but yeah. Drew Lock, who is on IR right now, I believe, or injured. I would like to see him come in. Hopefully he comes in later in the season. But the Broncos have a nice young quarterback situation there with Brandon Allen and Drew Lock possibly. And I like to see Drew Lock. I really like him. He is my favorite quarterback coming out. So hopefully we can see him in the future. Last week, the Dolphins, the tank for Tua, the just absolute dumpster fire. They traded everybody. They trade Kenyon Drake. And guess what? He gets out of Miami. He rushes for like 126 yards. Why? Because Miami sucked. And he goes to Arizona and they find his talent. Miami destroys careers. It ends them. Every player on the Miami roster, besides for like Josh Rosen, maybe a couple rookies, will be in the XFL in the offseason. We all know this. They are bad. They are very bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick scams people for a living. He is basically a Chinese scammer, okay? He went to Harvard. He knows this stuff. He is a genius. But the Dolphins, they win versus the Jets. Don't get me started on the Jets. The Jets suck. They're bad.
They beat the Cowboys.
They beat the Cowboys. So what does that mean for the Cowboys? I don't know. Dak Prescott, is he good? We don't know. I think not that great. Anyways, Dolphins won 26-18. Jets embarrassed. Fitz Magic is back, baby. 3 touchdowns. I was just so happy for the Dolphins. I love it. Great, great and entertaining football. Joking about the XFL thing, there's a lot of talent on that Dolphins roster, but just overall.
Billy Baxter.
Love it. Love it, Dolphins. I'm really rooting for you. Tank for Tua, not a fan. Tank for Burrow, big fan. Let's get Joe Burrow in that offense. Nick Foles was named the starter this week after Gardner Minshew's 26-3 loss to the Texans in England. Now, this raises a lot of questions. If Nick Foles does do well in his future starts, Minshew, I think, should be traded possibly for a first-round pick. Now,
I think Minshew can get traded in the offseason if Foles does well. If Foles does bad, Minshew, you got him right there. So Jaguars, they're in a good situation. I wouldn't be scared about Minshew at this point. The Chargers were rumored to go to England. Should they move?
No.
It was shut down that they should go to they would go to England. I think they should go to England, personally, or move at some point. I would like them to move back to San Diego. Probably will never happen. Their fan base in LA is about 3 fans, okay? They got nobody. They got nobody. They can't fill the stadium, and it's a soccer stadium. They can't fill it. Okay? Like, we need to move them, guys. Spanos, what are we doing here? I know you like LA, but we got to move. It's time to pack your bags and go. Philip Rivers, he threw 3 interceptions in a 26-24 loss to the Raiders last night. The Raiders won on a last-minute run. Very nice run by Josh Jacobs, who is a breakout for the Raiders, a breakout rookie. And just really like Josh Jacobs in the Raiders offense right now. That was their last primetime game in Oakland, and it was a great game for them. Rivers throwing 3 picks, obviously not a good thing. Rivers, maybe time to retire. Just not looking good at this point. All of his picks were very ugly. They were just horrible. And I didn't like it at all. Tom Brady. You know? Yeah. Chargers. Tom Brady.
What? What? What?
I don't think it will ever happen, but you know, the rumors are out there with Brady going to a different team, and Chargers would be perfect
for it's him not happening.
It will never happen. Never happen.
I hope.
Yeah, I really hope it never happens. Don't do it, Tom. No, please. Right. Please, Tom. Never do it. Anyways, Mahomes is to return versus the Titans for the Chiefs, and good for fantasy owners. Good for the NFL. Patrick Mahomes back slinging it. Anyways, that's it for the NFL. That was really entertaining. I really enjoyed that. So we'll be back with our third segment. It's an extra long episode, and we'll be back after this.
Hello, welcome back to our third segment, just to cover a couple more things from the world of soccer that we weren't able to get to. So just recently, Real Madrid won 6-0 against
Galatasaray.
That's what he said. 18-year-old Brazilian Rodrigo scored a perfect hat trick and also had an assist to Karim Benzema. Just, you love to see it. You love to see the youngster from Brazil coming out, having a great game. And really what Real Madrid needed is they have not been doing anything well recently.
Yeah. Perfect hat trick, meaning obviously he got a goal with his left foot, a raised right foot, and a header. He just matched up really well with Karim Benzema. He started off, Zidane started him on the right wing, showing more of his versatility that he's shown throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he's gaining the confidence of his peers and Zidane. Because he started on the right, he was getting the ball. His chemistry with Benzema early on looks amazing. He connected with the header goal that Rodrigo scored. And, he just showed an ability to cut in. He's going with his weak foot on a cut in. He's just it seems like they're bagging. He seems like he has a really bright future ahead of him.
Yeah.
Adding more goals was Sergio Ramos on a penalty, and Karim Benzema scored another 2. He had a great game himself with like one or two assists, and then he scored 2 himself.
Yeah.
So as a game that I'm just
I think Marcelo had an assist as well.
Yeah, he had an assist for another header. For a header someone else. And then it was complete domination from Real Madrid. 20 shots to set Galatasaray 7.
69% possession to 31% of Galatasaray.
It was just in the path accuracy was higher too. They had less fouls. They just completely demonstrate why they're on paper the better team. And that puts them second in the group with a comfortable 5-point lead over Club Brugge. And Galatasaray having only 1 point in the group through 4 games so far.
Bayern Munich fired their manager, Kovac. There's been some reports that Arsene Wenger is a target for them. I don't really know why, but you know, it's yeah. Even with Lewandowski's insane run of goal scoring and consistency, Bayern are fifth in the table right now, which really hasn't happened ever in a very long time. Bayern so used to being atop the table the entire time, but they are in fifth place, really just struggling, not even in a spot for the Champions League as of right now, which would be quite odd. But yeah. Inter Milan are planning on signing Alexis Sanchez when his loan expires in January. Not really sure how he's been playing over there, but apparently they like his style of play and how he's been doing.
If I'm in United, then I would sell him because they weren't even using him, so any money is better than nothing.
Yeah. Any profit to try and get those big targets that they are hoping
to get. He's only played four games this season, but I don't know if he's been injured or anything, but I guess the interest to sign him is a very interesting one. And I guess, like I said, we appreciate being wanted by a team, being bought by them. Whereas in Man United, he was barely getting a bench role, if lucky, and sometimes wasn't even being called up with the squad.
Mm-hmm. Man United are reportedly going to ask for $25 million as a fee for Alexis Sanchez when they're going to approach to buy him. Seattle Sounders midfielder claims that Luis Suarez is obsessed with the MLS and in a few years will be playing for a team in the MLS, which I wouldn't understand. I mean, I think it would be nice to see a player of his caliber in the MLS, kind of like Zlatan or Carlos Vela or Josef Martinez, but...
Or Seba Javinko, who was here before.
Sure.
Whoa.
I think Suarez has at least another 3 years to play at Barcelona. I mean, obviously, you never know with injuries, but I think he can play another 3 years.
Yeah, he could play another. But I feel like, I don't know. The player who said that is, of course, a compatriot of Luis Suarez in the national team, being Nico Lodeiro on the Sounders, obviously. So he knows him, Luis Suarez, so he does have some credibility in what he says.
But I think it would definitely be interesting to see someone like him in the MLS. I think that would be very entertaining. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp denies rumors that he wants to get Kylian Mbappe. And in a move where he would send Mohamed Salah to Madrid, it doesn't make sense as Salah has been playing very well for Liverpool, really just would look kind of weird in a jersey other than Liverpool right now, just really fitting in that team. So I don't know why he would do that, but yeah.
Yeah. I think Salah would fit Liverpool a lot more. And these rumors obviously are outlandish and don't really have much substance, but I guess it's interesting to contemplate the circumstances actually happening. Another in Arsenal news, Granit Xhaka's time at Arsenal could be done after the incident in Newcastle. I mean, after the incident in which he was booed up and then reacted with the fans negatively, like yelling stuff back at them.
And ripping his jersey off.
Yeah, taking off his shirt while being the acting captain. He has since then been stripped of the captaincy.
He's been stripped of the captaincy, which has been handed over to Aubameyang, as well as just Emery. I think, earlier today or yesterday, saying how Granit Xhaka's time at Arsenal could be done. Newcastle seemed to be interested in signing him, and Arsenal is also shopping him to teams in the Bundesliga, which is also bringing Mesut Ozil back into the rotation there, which when he did play, he played well. A lot of people were questioning why he wasn't playing, because when he does play, he normally performs somewhat decently.
Because he's too inconsistent.
He is inconsistent, but recently he has been okay.
Yeah.
Really just interesting to see him back in the rotation is. There's been a lot of rumors with him leaving as well, but yeah. TSG Hoffenheim won on the in the 98th minute on a PK, putting them into second place above Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga table. So the Bundesliga table right now.
They have played one more game.
They have
that
played
must have
one
been
more
a
game.
Stressful penalty.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
As they have played one more game, but at the same time, they still could be at the, in second place by the end of the week. You never know what could happen. Chances are either Dortmund
as far
win
down,
their games. But
yeah, it's been really tight so far, and as far down as
ninth
place could tie with them with a win on their 11th game. So yeah, I like watching the Bundesliga. It's always been one of my favorite leagues. This season's actually more competitive. So far, Borussia Mönchengladbach hold the lead at 22 points through 10 games.
Like if you take, for instance, Wolfsburg, who are in ninth place right now on 17 points, they have a better goal differential. So if they win their game, they would be above Hoffenheim, who are in second place right now. So you can really see how tight the Bundesliga race is. Really entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
As finally someone other than Dortmund and Bayern Munich.
Not even Dortmund.
Borussia Mönchengladbach have been in first place, playing very well.
Yeah.
Hoffenheim, obviously.
Shockingly, Bayern only has 18 points through 10 games, which is way below their standards.
Bayern is
And
Bayern
that's despite Lewandowski being
Schalke,
amazing and scoring in like all their games so far.
Yeah, Schalke is playing very well. Frankfurt is playing well. Freiburg is doing pretty well, and Red Bull Leipzig is also doing quite well.
Yeah.
There was a report. Not sure how liable it is, but there was a little rumor going around that the Champions League final in 2024 could be held in New York City. So they're looking to take the Champions League outside of Europe, not with teams that are competing in it, but with places that the games are played. Personally, I think that would be really cool because I would try and be able to go to that game as I am in America. But I'm not sure how the European fans would feel of that, as it, they feel
it's
they
their
would probably
Champions
feel
League.
It's I mean, the, it's their teams
rightfully.
And their games being taken overseas.
Especially
because
they know the only reason it's taken overseas is for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad enough when they took it to, like, where was it? I think it was the Europa League last year that Mkhitaryan couldn't even go. It was some country on the edge.
It was like Aubameyang too.
Yeah.
We
ended up
because of some political.
Yeah, problem. And it wasn't even like in Europe. It was in mainland Europe. Totally the teams were English. So off like a coastline, not the coastline of northern Europe, and they're playing right near Asia.
It just really didn't make sense. It wasn't like a very ideal location.
And if there are any political tensions, especially making one player miss the game, they really should. They should stopped and redone it, but they didn't even,
because both the teams were based
care.
Out of
yeah.
London. Like, you easily could have played the game in London.
You can't really do that, but like, at least like,
you can't, but like it
you could have done somewhere that just shows like where the teams are. Like, they could play somewhere in Europe, but there's because it's like it's a European competition, but they played it where the country wasn't even a team. Like, there are no participants in the Europa League were from that country, so that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's just not a relevant like country,
and then the visiting teams only got
soccer.
Only a certain amount, like a small section of the
stadium. They only got 12,000
seats combined. Yeah, so like, what?
Just really weird, but
yeah. Putting it that way, I prefer to stay in Europe.
There's been reports out recently that Paris Saint-Germain cannot afford to give Mbappe a new contract of Neymar's level. Just sparking the rumors that he's going to leave this summer.
Well, earlier it was reported that they would give it to him to try to convince him to stay, despite heavy rounds of interest, with Zidane literally calling out, like, about Benzin, like, he wants to play here. It's been his dream to play here, he said before.
And then
which
manager of PSG was very upset with that.
He was the president.
And then Zidane responded earlier today that it wasn't his, like, words. It was Mbappe's words that he had stated that his dreams were to play for Real Madrid.
And to his credit, I mean, today's not lying, you can just play for Mbappe Real Madrid, and you obviously get all the rumors, but if you go back in the history, like back to like
Mbappe has stated that he would love to play for Real Madrid.
He has said it. So, yeah. And obviously, it's not like he obviously, I mean, PSG knows that he's not going to stay in PSG the whole time. Obviously, he's French. Obviously, he said that he loves Paris and that he loves like the team and stuff. Because obviously, he basically likes his culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows that
he's going to leave.
French football is not at the level of other European, like not even like at the level of German and stuff.
Yeah.
Like literally in the golden boot races, they have like to determine the winner. They also have like difficulty, like a multiplier. And every other year, league in Europe is like two. And PSG is, no, it's like one. And then PSG is 0.5. Like it's non, it's not even classified as good as the other leagues. And rightfully so, because it's not. PSG has so much more money to spend. And they're just a better team. So obviously, they're just not like, they don't want a Champions League, even though they spend so much money. They're just obviously not the pinnacle. They know everyone knows like great players like Mbappe usually go to a Real Madrid or a Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Ederson is not going to be available for Manchester City in their clash with Liverpool, I believe, Sunday.
Yep.
Sunday morning, which might be very costly for them as he is in form recently.
And
he's been playing very well. And this is a very important game for both teams,
and you'd like to have your starting goalkeeper available. Yeah,
and just having your
in this
starting
could,
keeper. And do we know if is Allison?
Yep, Allison's been back for the last week, I think.
Okay, yeah. So Liverpool just regaining their starting keeper, Man City just losing their starting keeper, and having to put Kyle Walker in at keeper for the end of, I don't remember what game it was, if it was like a league game or a...
I think it was like not a league game, but it was...
It was a Champions League, I think. Yeah. Kyle Walker, the defender, had to go right in back, and yeah. play. He had to go in and play.
He didn't
play
seem keeper. Very happy about it either.
I mean, he did fine. He didn't let in a goal, so...
Yeah, but he didn't like... Yeah, when I was walking through the field, he didn't not seem happy about being goalkeeper. But yeah, he did play there. He seemed a bit like out of place because he's only 5'10". He's obviously right back. But I was injured in the scenario, and he did keep a clean sheet. And
it was a kind of funny thing to witness.
He did significantly make one save, which is more than Claudio Bravo made that night. So that's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for our little soccer segment towards the end. Thank you for watching. This has been the end of season 2. And hope you have a great day. Check out our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and enjoy the rest of your night.